Praise God. Amen. Well, Apostle has really taught this lesson very, very thorough. All I could really do is water it with a few drops. Very well. Thank God for the Apostle. And the school of training is very awesome. I want to encourage you as a student myself, and that never stop learning. Yes, never stop learning. I'm an 11-year student, so I've been sitting where you're sitting there for 11 years. I only missed two classes. You know, but it takes that if you're going to follow. That's what the Apostle was teaching us tonight. If you're going to go to be in succession, you have to follow the Father. You have to follow very thorough. Your heart has to be in knowing that God called you to it. Because you're going to have many opportunities to walk away. The enemy is going to make sure you get some, and your own mind going to try to talk you out of it. So you have to be very sure that God called you to school, called you to the church that you're under, the pastor you're under, because those challenges are going to come, right. You know, to drop out early. Right. But that's not what you want to do. You want to stay committed to your commitment, right, and the calling that God put in your life. And when you do that, you're well on your way, right, to being exactly what you're following, being exactly what you're following. That's what's going to happen to your life. And being a part of this school for these 2 years, the anointing that's going to be upon you is going to be a heavy anointing. It's going to be a heavy anointing. The eyes of your understanding is going to be enlightened. And when you get around religion, you're going to know it like a sore thumb. You're going to be like a sore thumb because you know truth. You know how it's supposed to operate. That does not mean you become condemning. It's the idea that you know. It's that you know the truth about it. So that's the power of enlightenment. Tonight we're on lesson 4 on chapter 2, understanding the funnel from heaven. This is lesson 4, the funnel from heaven. This is very important for our learning. You got it? What you, go ahead, say what you got.
You said lesson 4.
Okay. Yeah, I think this is your fifth test or fourth test?
Fourth. This is our fifth.
It's your fifth test. Okay, so lesson 5 then. But I got lesson 4 over here. Okay, it's going to be that part. So as we learn and embrace the teaching here in chapter 2, the funnel from heaven. The funnel is like the... know how a tornado is focused, very small at the bottom and wide at the top? Well, it's called a funnel. It's heaven to earth ministry. It's heaven to earth ministry. And it's also helpful to understand Ephesians chapter 4, the order of God, God's original order of how he sat in the church, gifts and offices in the church, and how God has designed for it to operate, how to operate the church. Okay, so that's what some of the things in enlightenment that we're going to understand going through, because we understand from previous lessons that God was telling us about titles. We start talking about titles and how we're supposed, those titles, when we are properly connected, understand those titles, they release certain graces on our life. We're able to receive certain graces from those titles, those men and women who are in position called by God. And so we're just moving further in that line to understand what these men and women who are called by God, what they do and how they operate and how important it is that every man stand in his or her place. Because that's one of the things that you can easily lose lose grip on your call or your anointing by watching others and becoming covetous of what they do. Instead of complimenting, you begin to compete. Now you want what they got and figure what you have is inefficient. You know, what God has called you to do. But everybody is important. Everybody is necessary. And for everybody to play their particular calling in the body of Christ. So for the first thing you want to write down tonight is your meditation scripture. Your meditation scripture is coming from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. That is not in your, it's not in this chapter. So, but that's where it's coming from. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. And this familiar scripture talks about to study to show yourself approval unto God, a workman, not to be ashamed, but rightfully dividing the word of truth. Rightfully dividing the word of truth. The reason why I chose that scripture because of the fact we need to rightfully understand the callings in the body of Christ and the order of God. So we're not confused when we are experienced in ministries, no matter where God leads you, you will have the knowledge and understanding to understand how ministry was set up by God and how it's supposed to operate.
That's right.
And that's very important because many people do not know what you're knowing tonight.
Right.
Believe me, in church, got a good idea about church, but they don't know how it works.
That's right. Amen.
And that's where chaos, church splits, and people start dropping out of the church because they don't understand it,
right.
The operation of God. So that is very important. Let me give you five things that you're going to need to write down for your quiz information as well, and then we'll go back and do some things. On page 56, let me show them right. Yeah, page 56. We're talking about the apostles and prophets. Okay, the apostles and prophets. In the last paragraph, what you see on page 56, where it's talking about Paul clearly lays out an order of priorities in this passage. And this order is related to the realms of the supernatural that corresponds to each particular office. As you will see in the previous illustration. Now, this is where you need to write down or underline in your book. The anointing of the apostle and prophets creates a perspective that is primarily focused on perceiving what is going on in heaven and bringing it to earth. The primary focus of the apostles and the prophets is to see what's going on in heaven and bring it to earth. They're the seers. Those are the ones who are sent. They're the seers. They see what God is doing. They see what God, hear what God is speaking, and they relates it to the body of Christ. And this is where pastors, your teachers, and your evangelists get to see what God is doing in the now. What God is at work now. The rhema word that's coming from heaven now is coming from the apostles and the prophets. The next move of God is going to come through the apostles and the prophets. And this is where the church should not become stagnated with just the pastor and teacher and the evangelist, because they begin to preach the old paradigm because they don't have a fresh rhema. You see? And so in order for us to know what God is doing, we need the apostles and the prophets. And that's why it's important that God is restoring the prophets and the apostles in our day, bringing restoration in those areas. Number two, well, I gave you one meditation. Number two was the anointing of the apostles and the prophets. Number three is the teacher is focused on being able to describe everything that happens accurately. When you have a teacher's anointing, you're sitting up under a teacher, he is more explanatory, more detailed to say how we got from A to B. When the apostle and the prophet are jumping from A to V somewhere else, you know, because they are not detailed. Okay, so teachers give us detail. They give us examples. They try to explain to us the steps or the process so that we can have an insight of how to move from one thing to another. Okay, with understanding and knowledge. Okay, that becomes a difference. So when we're talking about the fivefold giftings, we're talking about the apostles or prophets, the evangelists, pastors, and teachers. So he's given us an illustration where each one of those are really focused on and why we need to understand their importance in the body of Christ. That's number three. Number four is, and the evangelists and pastors are focused on the people. The evangelists and pastors are focused on the people. That's their general focus. Okay. On page 57, the very first sentence, says when Paul makes apostles first, prophets second, and teachers third, he is describing a flow. He is describing a flow, is what he's describing. Okay? So if you underlined it in your book, you're right there. Okay, so understand that. That's why it's so important. I want you to mark your books up. When Paul makes apostles first, prophets second, and teachers third, he is describing a flow. He is describing that God's ordained move comes through apostles, prophets. Okay, this is how it flows to us from apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. He said that's a flow he's describing. It does not go the opposite way from teachers, pastors, to evangelists, prophets, and apostles. You see? But he's trying to give us a clarity to understand God's original operation has not shifted. It has not changed. It's God's order. Okay? He said, but we have changed it because our major focus is on pastors, evangelists, and teachers, because those are the ones we familiar with. You know, all our lives we've been familiar with pastors and evangelists and teachers and not apostles and prophets. Okay? But he's saying that because we got so familiar and locked into that pattern of the apostles, meaning evangelists, pastors, and teachers, that we are now not experiencing the supernatural moves in ministry because the supernatural only came through the apostles and the prophets. And what the pastors have is an importation. That's why apostles keep talking about you having an apostle, apostolic grace. You know, you're apostolic pastors. Meaning because you're up under apostles, the grace that's on him is on your life. So you too can move in the supernatural because of the grace. But if you do not respect that order or respect the apostles and prophets, then all you're going to get is just teaching information. You're just getting information, but no importation. Right. And that's why we're absent a demonstration of the power of God in Sunday church service. Yeah. You know, we got good music, we got good choirs, you know, we have a good dance, but what miracles are taking place? Right. You know, what signs and wonders are manifesting as it did in the Acts of the Apostles? You know, what is supernatural of heaven operating in earth? It's not happening because of the fact there's an absence of the supernatural because that's an absence of the apostles and the prophets. That's why it's not happening. Just information. You know, and not experience. People need to have an encounter with God when they come to the household of faith. When sinners come to the household of faith, they need to be convicted in their hearts that God is real. Jesus is real. And that's what the altar should be full every Sunday when people come giving their life to the Lord. What I need to do, get saved, man. Why? The power of God is present. The convicting spirit, the Holy Spirit, the love of God is in the atmosphere. And that's when we talk about the culture, when the love of God is in the atmosphere, that we're not condemning, nor are we condoning. But the idea is we're here to show you the love of Jesus because he said, through loving kindness have I drawn you. And when we create an atmosphere of love and kindness and compassion and love, then the glory hits, yes, then everybody in the room get flooded. Yes, amen. We get touched with the power of God. Yes, and that's when sinners cry out, what can I do to be saved? That's exactly right, sir. But that's what we got to create, an atmosphere, and not an atmosphere of judgment. Yes. Amen. You're saved now. We can have still a judgment. Sinners come to the door. You immediately come in the door. You're going to sense that spirit.
Right. That's right.
They're going to sense that spirit. They're going to watch people rolling eyes. They're going to like, man, I'm uncomfortable here. You know? But if we're going to experience the supernatural and see the altars flooded again with salvation calls, then we need to allow the apostolic to flow in the church.
Yes,
so the glory can hit.
Amen.
With signs, wonders, and miracles.
Yes,
where people are getting out of wheelchairs, where people, cancer is dying at the speaking of the word of God.
Right.
You know, it can happen. It should be happening every Sunday in our churches.
Right.
You know, it should be experienced at power, but we got to let this anointing come back in the church.
Right.
We'll respect the apostles and the prophets. Okay, so make that note right there, okay? When Paul makes apostles first, prophets second, and teachers third, he is describing a flow of how the anointing flows. Okay, next paragraph, first sentence. Rather than having the apostles and the prophets as the foundation of the church culture, today the American church has largely placed the teacher, pastor, or evangelist at the helm. You see, this is what the American church look like right now. You know, they look like teacher, pastor, and evangelist. You see, the absence of the apostles and the prophets. But we got that's what God is restoring, and that's why it's kind of a apostle mentioned something about bishops tonight. Not that bishops are not important, they're pastors, they're important, you know, but the emphasis is in the wrong place.
That's right. Yeah.
The emphasis in the order is in the wrong place.
Yeah.
Because most bishops don't have apostles.
Right.
They have another bishop.
That's right.
You see? And whatever seed is sown, that's what kind of harvest you're getting, because whatever spirit you're connected to, that's the kind of growth you're going to get. That's the anointing you're going to receive.
Right.
If you're on a teacher, you're going to get a teacher's anointing.
Right.
If you're on an evangelist, you're going to get an evangelical anointing. You see, if you're on a prophetic anointing, you're going to get a prophetic anointing.
Yes,
because that's what you're under.
Yes,
every seed produced behind his own kind,
right.
And whatever calling, you're going to receive according to the calling that you set up under.
Amen.
Okay? So that's important for us to understand and important for us to know.
Yeah.
Okay? Midways of that same paragraph, because we're trying to get somewhere in time. We got a few minutes here. It says, if you go down further, just before the second to the last sentence in that same paragraph where it says, rather than having the apostles and prophets, okay, look right there. It said, the role of the pastor. The role of the pastor. You find it? You see it? Okay. The role of the pastor is to create a church that has strong family values and systems in place to nourish strong character in relationships. The role of the pastor is to create a church that has strong family value and systems in place to nourish strong character and relationships. Okay, just follow that on over. It says the role of the evangelist is to emphasize church growth and to train church members to share their faith and lead others to Christ. Now, all the roles that we're talking about, not belittling any of the roles, you know, of the evangelist, the pastor, and teacher, all the roles are important. They are necessary to make the completeness of the church. You know, and every ministry, believe me, every ministry need to have all five gifts. All five callers need to be in every ministry in order for that ministry to be complete. But without the apostle set in heavenly government and training pastors and evangelists and teachers how to come together and unify their gifts and their calling to complement each other, then I'm a minister just like you. I can start my own church. I can preach just as well as you. So I'm an apostle who's a founder of a church who has a prophet serving with me as my assistant. Okay? Then we also have a pastor, because most of the time the prophet and the apostle is going to be out. Because they're foundational and they're always missionaries setting up, establishing, planting other churches and other people in other countries, in other cities. So we've got a pastor who is overseeing the flock while they're out. But they all have to step under the same umbrella and not become competitive.
Right.
You know, with a pastor, steal the church and take off.
That's it. Come on,
man. No, the apostle is still the foundation.
Right.
Under Jesus Christ, he's still the founder of the ministry. So whenever he wants to come in and do ministry, the pastor has to set to the side and allow him to take over the flock. Okay, so that because we're complementing each other, we're all working together, and we're not trying to keep one another out of the church.
Right.
All of us are necessary.
That's right.
Because the apostle gift and calling and the prophet gift and calling, they are different from the pastor calling.
Right.
Pastors are nurturers.
Right.
You see, they want to make sure everybody's feelings are okay. Anybody got a complaint? You know, they're trying to resolve all the issues. Why? You know, they're trying to keep confusion to a low, low minimum. You know, they want to keep everybody in that flow, so they're always gathering. They're always gathering. How do I keep everybody safe? I keep everybody in church. Anybody got grumbles, disagreements, or whatever? They're trying to resolve all the problems, because that's what pastors do. That's what they do. Where apostles are different, because apostles really don't care about your feelings. He care about the destiny of where God has called us. And fulfilling the destiny, strong, and having mature saints to do what God said we're going to do. So here come in and really just crush your little emotion and your ego, because that's not what God is looking for. God is looking for a heart that's matured, a spirit that is yielded to flow with him at any call, any moment. Someone who's mature enough can handle the mission and complete it. That's what he's looking for. So the apostle's always dealing in that area, and he's always talking about government. He's always talking about structure. He's always talking about, no, this is what you need to do. You need to drop that and do this.
Right.
Apostle was sharing something. He was talking about me as well, that because he is my apostle. I was doing something. I was working on a having church every day. I was working. I said, man, God, I believe God really wants me to have service every day. Don't close the church. Need to be open 7 days a week. We need to be doing something every day, because bar rooms are open every night. You know, all that kind of stuff is going on. So the church needs to be open. And so Pastor Phillips called Dad and said, Dad, Kyle was talking about having church every night. He said, what are you doing? You know, he said, get him on the phone. He said, Kyle, what you doing? And I told him, he said, why do you think God called you to do that? He said, boy, shut that down. I immediately, so I dropped the phone, called my whole staff. That's over. Kill it. It's done.
Mm-hmm.
Know why? Because there's no sense of you having an apostle and not following instructions.
That's right.
He's your overseer. I'm a pastor just like he was a pastor,
right.
But he's also an apostle.
Right.
And so that means he sees things in the heavenly I don't see,
right.
Or didn't see. So he was protecting, correcting, and directing. He is really saving my life, because I could have killed myself doing that,
right.
And wearing my people out and lose the whole church. So he was really doing those things. And so we have to understand, as sons in the kingdom, in the church, upon your pastors and your apostles and your prophets, there are going to be times when your man of God has to be strong enough to correct you. And you have to be humble enough and faithful enough to take that correction without saying, shoot, I'm leaving the church.
Right.
I'm not paying my tithes this Sunday. You know, say how you gonna make it now. You know, so you get those kind of feelings caught up in your heart, and you become rebellious against authority. And not realize he's not trying to hurt you, he's trying to save you. From whatever decision you're trying to make. And therefore, when you're making a decision about marriage, who you're going to marry, what God is saying about this particular person in my life or direction I'm going in, you know, you say, well, do I really need to talk to my apostle about that? Do I really need to talk to my pastor about that? Let me ask you, are you 100% sure that God is speaking to you, that that's the one? You see, if they're in a place of doubt, a reserve that this person is the one for you as a husband or wife, or this job is the really one you should be taking, with, whether it's in Chicago or Arizona or whatever. It's an opportunity, but is it a God opportunity? See, you can have a good idea, but don't have a God idea. You see, and that becomes the difference. You can be doing a good thing, but not a God thing. And so you have to understand, because he is there as a voice of God for me, then I can talk to him as well as pray. It's not like I can't hear from heaven or hear from God. But if I have any reserve or doubt in my heart, am I making the right step? or the right decision, because in the multitude of counsel, there is safety. So when I go to my apostle and say, listen, I'm thinking about buying this move or starting another church in another part of town, what do you think about that? And he began to question it and give you certain questions to make you examine your own heart about what you heard or what you think you heard. And then if there's any doubt, then you need to be still and let God manifest himself through the apostle. If you say, yes, go for it, it's a go. If you said, no, don't bother with that, that ain't God, let's pray about it a little bit more or whatever. But I don't sense it being God. But our apostle's like this. Apostle Thompson is going to tell you, we tell him something, he's going to say, he's going to give his advice, say, go pray about it. Right. You know, he's going to tell you, see, that's one thing he's going to tell you. He's going to tell you exactly what he believed. Right. He's going to say, just pray about it. You know, and when you go back to God and talk to God, you get the same thing the apostle just told you. You know, because he's a hearer, he's a seer. In the heavenly realm, mean he sees the future. He sees the future. And you have to trust that. You have to trust that in your man of God, your woman of God. You got to trust it because it's necessary. That's why, that's part of the reason why they're covering our life, to protect us. So it's very important. Okay? Put that in your spirit. Just tuck it. If you haven't got that experience, you will at some point in your life. Okay, the next paragraph, talking about the problem, is that these are earthly focus. When we're talking about the model of leadership, you're talking about when we just have the evangelist, the pastor and teacher, he's saying that is earthly models. That's not the heavenly model. The heavenly model is apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. That's the heavenly model. The problem is that these are earthly focused models of leadership. Without the flow of grace from the apostles and prophets, who are not only focused on seeing what is going on in heaven, but also on releasing that reality here on earth. These models will inevitably lead us to focus on what we know God has done in the past and miss out on what he is doing now. You see, that becomes a difference. What is God doing now? Where is God leading us now? And so we need the eyes. We need the eyes. We need those who are hearing from God, which is apostles and prophets, so we can know. If not, we'll be going on the same pattern, doing different things, and we'll begin to set up churches or ministry programs to try to cater to people's needs. You see, and that's where we get, that's where we get a lot of the single ministry from. We get a lot of marriage ministry from. We give a lot of the, I see a lot of them have the widow ministry. We have the divorce ministry. Those who are separated. What we're doing is we're developing programs to meet needs, to try to bring healing to people who need ministry in those areas. And so every time we see a need of somebody going through something, we develop a ministry to try to meet that need. So we got all type of ministries in churches because we got all kind of needs in churches, in ministry. And that's what pastors does. They're always hovering. They're always gathering. They're always trying to create programs to minister to the hurts of people. You see, and that's the thing, that's why you see ministry have so many programs. You know, all of them are not really saying God ordained, but the idea is I see a need. So I figure because I see a need, then we need to address the need. So we produce a program to meet that need. And when you come, people come to your church, they don't see you don't have a widow ministry, you don't have a certain ministry, then they start shopping for a ministry that caters to their need. Right. Or they're hurt. Right. So they figure you're inefficient. It's not the idea that you're inefficient. The idea is you're not focused in that area. You're not called to that area. It does not mean the program is not no good, but the idea, it may be something you ain't called to. Everybody's not called to start a school, a school of ministry, or either educational school in their churches. Everybody's not called to do that, you know. So people cater to what meet their needs, you know. But you really got to learn to hear what God is saying. Follow what the Spirit of God is leading. Okay? Follow what the Spirit of God is leading. It's so important. Okay. So that information I just gave you is vital for dealing with your information that you need to dig out of, so far out of this chapter that we're talked about. Now, as you read chapter 2, you will discover how this pastor of the church in Reading became the pastor of the church. He shares his testimony how he became the pastor and what he went through to get from a son in the ministry to becoming the pastor of the ministry. And that's very important because Apostle mentioned tonight that a novice should not become a pastor, meaning someone who has no experience, someone who has no proof, someone who has not sat upon another pastor to be taught and trained. I mean, you call the day from the Lord and you start pastoring 6 months out. You have no training, no ethics. You have no father guiding you. So you're getting ready to start a church without no experience. Just because you can preach or you feel that you can preach. You know, even if God may have called you to preach, it does not mean he called you to pastor. And so many preachers get caught up in that same rut because I'm a preacher, then God must have called me to pastor. Not necessarily so. Sometimes God calls you to undergird a pastor, to assist a pastor, even though you're called to preach. And you can use your gift in evangelism. You can use your gift if he need a prison ministry or he need a nursing home ministry or whatever ministry that this pastor have this umbrella over his life, this anointing under life, that he's going to channel it through. He needs hands and feet to get that job done. And you can be a good minister serving your pastor and serving for the rest of your life. That has to be your heart to serve in the rest of your life. You have to have that heart. So he shares that how he became pastor. And I read the story for the second time. And it was very powerful and enlightening because he needed those channels. The things he went through was necessary to prepare him for where he was about to go. You know, and so it's important as an example to you, Apostle mentioned again tonight, that situations that happens in your life like it did with Joseph, you know, situations that you're going through are important because they are set up by God. They're set up by God. The challenges that you're having in your life now, God is going to use those challenges to bring you into the fullness of who you are and what he's called you to do. So never look at your life and figure that because I'm going through a divorce or a separation, I'm going through a financial challenge, I'm going through joblessness situation, I can't seem to hold a relationship. You have to look at what is God doing with my life? What is God has called me to do? Where is God directing my life? Because if I'm saved, I love the Lord and with all my heart. You know, I'm serving the Lord and I'm dealing with challenges and attacks from the enemy as well. You know, inner struggles as well as outer struggles from the outside. If I'm going through things, then those things got to be conditioning me, because before God positions me, he always conditions me. You see, you really never know what God's fullness is going to take you into, even though you may have got a glimpse at the beginning. God said, I called you by my name. I chose you, you know, from among your brothers or whatever, and I'm going to make you a prophet to the nations. Okay, so what do all that encompasses? You know, because I don't feel like a prophet to the nation. I don't really qualify to be a prophet of the nation, but God got certain situations and tests and classes that you got to go through to prepare you for that level of positioning. So conditioning always comes before positioning. So what you could be going through right now is nothing but a conditioning situation. It could be the breaking on the inside of you. It could be, am I arrogant about something? Or do I have a attitude about stuff? You know. So God could be really breaking something on the inside of me before he positioned me in a place of authority and rule and reign. Because if I go in that place with those things on my life, then those things are going to be the very downfall of my ministry, of my positioning. Yeah, it's going to hurt you. It's going to hurt you. So in order to be a good business owner, you have first had to learn to be a good employee. You see, you haven't gone through the ranks yourself in order to rule yourself. So now you understand all the experiences these people are going to go through who's sitting up under you, so you can have appreciation of value for those people. You see? So you can understand that because I've been in a place. You got to understand, because you went there, I've been through those situations. I've experienced those hurt. I know what it's like to have an excuse and make an excuse and look for an excuse. You know? I know those things. I've been there myself. So Because I am your boss, because I am in leadership, I got here going through the school of hard knocks. So I'm not here by mistake or accident. I went through the school. You see? And so people have to understand that the way to the king's palace is always through the servant's quarter. You see, you want to rule, but you don't want to serve. And so conditioning and situation in your life is teaching you how to be a faithful servant so you can be a faithful ruler. You see, because if not, you're going to be a mean tyrant and you're going to crush everybody under you because you think everybody should be where you are. They're not. They got to go to training. They got to go to the school of training. And that's what God is using our conditioning to bring us to a position of honor because we have gone through the school in the desert. Nobody knew us. Nobody knew us. And that's what Apostle was saying tonight when he said David reflected back on something when he faced Goliath. He went back on his experience and his encounter and experience he had with God, with the lion and the bear. He said, well, God will give me your head just like he gave me theirs. Right. You see, if God was with me then, he's with me now. Right. And so all of your experiences are teaching you encounters with God. So once you get to that place of authority and rule, you're going to realize I got experience under my belt. I know God, and I know if he don't show up right now, he's going to show up after a while. See, you know that. So now fear is not going to grip your heart and terrify you in a face of a situation or a conflict that looks bigger than you. Why? I got experience. I know God. I know how God does things. You know, if he don't come today, he'll come tomorrow. But he always keep coming. He always going to show up, though. You see, you know that. And the same thing you realize, if he paid the bills last month, he going to pay the bills this month. He's faithful. He's faithful, you know, and if he got you through that sickness last week, he'll get you through the sickness this week, whatever, because he's faithful. He's faithful. That's why you have encounters. That's why you have experiences to get you where you got to go, you know. And sometimes they're not comfortable. They don't always feel good, but they're necessary. They're necessary so you can rule and reign in life as king and priest. That's what he wants for your life. And so don't try to find a way out of it. Trying to find a way in it. That's important to understand what this man of God is talking about and what Apostle is sharing with us. Very important. Okay, so he shares this with us and he talks about his encounter, how he became pastor. Then he understood. If you read the story, you understand. He said, now I understand why Pastor Bill left the church to me. Now I understand why Pastor Bill left to go to this other church. God called him out to go to that other church and why I'm the pastor today. He said because Pastor Bill had an apostle, a prophetic, and an apostle anointing. He didn't have a pastor anointing. But the church stayed together because he had signs, wonders, and miracles. He could hear from God, but he wasn't a pastor. And so the people had scars and hurts in their life that couldn't get healed, but they did. They knew it by signs, wonders, and miracles. They knew how to wait on God and believe God because Pastor Bill taught them that. They saw the miracles of people getting out of wheelchairs and all the supernatural taking place. They saw all those things, but he could not minister to them on their level because he was not a pastor. And so he said there was two other brothers that was there with him too. You know, I think it was Bill and Bob and somebody else that was there with him, two brothers assisting him, and they had the evangelist in the pastoral, the prophetic anointing and the evangelist on their life. So he had in his ministry, he was the apostle, he had a prophet, and he had an evangelist. This guy was being raised up as the pastor. Okay? And so that combination was going to cause that church to receive all it's supposed to have because what they couldn't get from Bill, they got it from him. And he was able to counsel people, heal people's hurt, heal people's marriages because the apostle did not deal with those issues. But the pastor did deal with those issues. And I'm going to quit for apostle deal with me. I got about 22 seconds left. God bless y'all. Y'all have a great night.